I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we continue to commemorate the bicentennial of the end of the transatlantic slave trade with a look at the Quakers. A new book explores how even members of this radically anti-slavery group struggled to reconcile their actions with their beliefs. But first, a remarkable night in presidential politics. Last night, Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee, two outsiders, two men little known on the national scene 4 years ago, both won their respective caucuses in Iowa. Is it a one-day wonder or a sign of things to come? To help us put the Iowa caucuses in perspective and look ahead to next week's New Hampshire primary, we turn to two top political gurus, Douglas Sosnick, the former senior advisor to President Clinton, and Ari Fleischer, the former White House spokesman for the George W. Bush administration. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, Michelle.
Let's push against the conventional wisdom. Now, this was a great story. We all stayed up late listening to the results because it was exciting. But since 1972, only once or twice, if you count Jimmy Carter, who came in second to uncommitted, has the winner of a contested Iowa caucus been elected president. So I have to ask, is this as important as it seems right now, Doug?
Well, I think it was a very significant night. I think the single most important thing that happened last night, though, was the turnout. It was really an unprecedented turnout. And remember, a caucus was set up by the insiders to try to limit participation and make it really inconvenient and difficult for people to participate. And you saw a turnout last night on both sides, although the Democratic side was overwhelming, almost double the number of people who turned out in 2004. And I think it really shows you how engaged the country is going to be in the next election and how much people really want to change.
Ari?
Well, I agree with what Doug is saying about turnout, but I think the bigger picture here is everybody should take a deep breath. This is the first of what's going to be many in a wide-open contest. You know, this is the first race since 1952 and even before that since 1928 in which there's no sitting president or vice president on the ticket for either party. We're in an open era right now, and it's fascinating. It's likely going to stay relatively unstable and open right through February 5th and possibly beyond February 5th.
Ari, who are you keeping your eye on right now?
Well, I'm personally neutral in the race, but I believe there are four Republicans, any one of whom could win. Mike Huckabee is clearly now one of those four. He wasn't. He is today. Mitt Romney still can win, although he's down. He's not out. If he loses New Hampshire, it's pretty tough for him to come back. Don't rule out Rudy Giuliani. By waiting like Rudy wants to do, he still can come back uniquely because of the strengths Rudy has. And John McCain, the remarkable story that he's come back. Any one of those four can still win. That's how wide open it is on the Republican side.
Doug, who are you keeping your eye on?
Well, let me just say, I agree with what Ari said. The conventional wisdom is that we're going to have a nominee of both parties by February 5th. And I think particularly on the Republican side, I think it's very likely that this is going to be a longer rather than shorter primary. This is going to take a while. It's the first time in a long time that the Republican establishment really has no one running that they're going to back, and there's a dissatisfaction with the field. Each of them have problems with the establishment. I think it's very likely, particularly as I say on the Republican side, that this could be a longer rather than short primary process.
If you're Mitt Romney, Ari, what do you do now?
You pray. You know, I think he really isn't. He's wounded. He's badly wounded because he was running the classic have to win early, dominate, throw money at it campaign. And if he had won Iowa, won New Hampshire, then he would have been hard to stop. But his fundamental problem is Republicans have never been satisfied that he's authentic. Republicans have never been comfortable that he will hold to his positions that he's principled. It's almost as if none of the above is the preferred candidate for about one-third of the Republican bloc. And this is why you're seeing such unprecedented churning among Republicans.
I have to wonder if New Hampshire is a good place for Mitt Romney because, you know, he was the former governor of Massachusetts that ought to convey an advantage. But in this case, he didn't leave office particularly highly regarded. He was derided during the campaign. Even though he wasn't on the ballot, he was an issue. People derided him as the recreational governor who had only used the state to as a platform to run for president. And I have to wonder, Doug, if actually New Hampshire is good territory for him. It sort of shares the media market with Massachusetts?
Well, it's probably not, and I think Ari's right, but I think it's more than just Republicans don't feel that Romney is authentic. I think it's across the Democrats and independents. And I think the key for Romney is to just stay alive in the race and hope that the other candidates disqualify themselves.
Well, he's clearly trying to signal to everybody that he's going to stay. Let's play a short clip from his speech last night.
You win the silver in one event, it doesn't mean you're not going to come back and win the gold in the final event, and that we're going to do.
But all right, just to tie a bow on it, if he doesn't do well in New Hampshire, is he gone?
No, because what's next is Michigan. The Republicans have a Michigan primary on the 15th of this month, and that's only 1 week after New Hampshire, and his father was the governor of Michigan. I think if he goes 0 for 3, he's done. If he goes 0 for 2, he is down on the mat with a 10-count pending. He can get off the mat if he wins Michigan. You know, the other thing that fascinates me, Michelle, and Doug, you're a part of this because you know the Democrat side, but if you listen to Barack Obama's acceptance speech and Mike Huckabee's, they were remarkably similar, at least the first half of them. They both talked about bringing people together, ending the division. They could have given each other speeches. But then Barack Obama went on and gave an ideological element, a policy element. Mike Huckabee still lacks that. Huckabee has really connected, to his credit, with voters on the populist message and on the I'm different message. He's yet to really lay in a consistent policy message, and that's going to be his next test.
Well, I think it's a little dangerous to overextrapolate one night in one state. I mean, 60% of the people who voted in the Iowa caucuses last night are evangelicals, and Huckabee ran very poorly amongst independents, and while I think he'll probably do fairly well in South Carolina, I think he's going to have a very difficult time appealing to the mainstream and independent voters of this country.
If you're just joining us, we are joined by former White House Press Secretary for President George W. Bush, Ari Fleischer, and former advisor to President Clinton, Doug Sosnick, and we're talking about the results from the Iowa caucuses. You know, what interested me, gentlemen, is the candidates with arguably the most experience, Chris Dodd, Joe Biden, who have now dropped out of the race, John McCain, Bill Richardson, particularly on foreign policy, did not fare well. And the reason I'm intrigued by this is just days after Benazir Bhutto was killed, which you think would sort of elevate issues of national security and terrorism sort of to the top of the mind. Doug, how do you read that?
Well, timing's everything in politics, and I think people are really looking for a change, and they're looking for a change not only in direction of the country from where George Bush has taken us, but probably generational change, and also a change in the type of people that we've been nominating and electing as president. And I think that's overriding right now the traditional who's got the most experience and kind of measurements that people have used in the past. And timing is everything. And I think the country's in transition. The people in this country, I think, really are very fearful about the future and believe that we really need not only to change course policy-wise, but change course in terms of the type of leadership that we have.
Ari?
Well, I think that the American public for quite some period of time now has been largely dissatisfied with status quoism. Now, it's left a distasteful feel with many of the American people. The trick, though, in politics is to be the change agent with an ideological element that attracts people. It's not just about change. It's changed in what direction. And this is where there still is an unsettled element in both parties. But there's no question that the candidates who represent status quoism, who are the usual picture, are in trouble. I was struck last night watching Hillary Clinton talk about the need for change as the people on the stage behind her were former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. The picture said 90s. Her message said change. There's a disconnect.
What does it say that Chuck Norris is behind Mike Huckabee?
Well,
Ari?
You know, that's a great attraction for young people, which is how Barack Obama won Iowa, largely powered by young people. And it's a signal that he's not from Washington.
Chuck Norris, you think, for young people?
Well, Huckabee ran last night, though, almost last amongst young people in the Republican caucus. So I don't think anybody... And that's going to be a big problem, by the way, regardless of the nominee, is young people in this country are overwhelmingly Democratic, and that was one of the most important results in the 2006 election.
But young people were a very small part of the Republican vote in Iowa. It was almost all older vote. That's just the nature of Iowa caucus goers.
Right, but even though of the people who voted in Iowa last night, a small percentage may be young people, Huckabee ran almost last amongst them.
Okay, speaking of a desire for change, maybe wanting somebody who represents something different. How about Mike Bloomberg, Ari?
Well, he's ruled it out, and I don't think he is going to run. I think it's a parlor game that nobody is playing other than his staff and the media. He's not playing it, and he's really the only one that counts.
Why would his staff be playing it if he's not interested?
Oh, because it's fun. It's kind of what staff does as a sideline until the candidate or the non-candidate says knock it off. I don't think he's going to run, and if he did run, I really don't think he could win. He's not popular nationally.
Doug?
Well, I don't think Bloomberg would run unless he thought he could win, and I think his plans going forward will be predicated in part on who the Republicans nominate. But I will say that there's a real opening, not necessarily to win the election, but there's a real opening for a third-party candidate to run in 2008. If you look at Perot, who got 19% of the vote in 1992. There's much more dissatisfaction now than there was in 92 in terms of the direction of the country. There's much more dissatisfaction with both of the major parties. And so I think someone, particularly someone like a Bloomberg with money, could really affect the dynamics of this race, because the American public is not really emotionally involved with either party right now compared to where it has been in the past.
How do you read that on the really? I mean, you were the person who pointed out that the turnout on both sides was higher than it was. It was extraordinary on the Democratic side, but it was still like 20% higher than it was in 2000 on the Republican side. Seems to me that there is some love there.
Well, actually, there's quite a bit of enthusiasm and energy on the Democratic side. I mean, remember, Iowa went for Bush in 2004. So when you look at the enormous increase in turnout last night on the Democratic side compared to the Republican side, it really reflects what you're seeing around the country in terms of how much more enthusiasm Democrats have for the field right now, how much more money Democratic candidates are raising, how much larger the events are that Democrats are holding. And so I think that Democrats really feel this is going to be their moment. And one last point I'll make is that the biggest thing probably working against the Republican nominee in November, other than having to try to carry around the legacy of George Bush and his 30% approval rating, is the fact in the last 50 years, only one time has this country given a political party 12 years, three terms, and that was in 1988. After 8 years, four out of the last five times the American public has said it's time for the other party to take the White House.
We're going to ask our two top political heavyweights to stick around for just a couple more minutes. We're joined by Doug Sosnick, former senior advisor to President Clinton, and Ari Fleischer, former White House spokesman for President George W. Bush. They'll be with us for a couple more minutes. Gentlemen, if you just stand by, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, the sounds of slavery, rare recordings of formerly enslaved Americans as they worked and worshipped. That's coming up. But first, we're going to continue our conversation with two top political gurus, Douglas Sosnick, the former senior advisor to President Clinton, and Ari Fleischer, the former White House spokesman for President George W. Bush. Gentlemen, we have not talked a lot about race. I think we should for a minute. Iowa, 97% white. Barack Obama. One of the criticisms, I mean, Doug, you pointed out of the caucuses is they're kind of exclusive. I mean, it's, you know, I would have a hard time going. I have two little kids, and if I went, my husband couldn't go, and if he went, the babysitter couldn't go. So it's sort of meant to sort of tighten the circle of who can participate. But a 97% white state, is it important? Does it say something important that Barack Obama did as well as he did?
Well, regardless of who the nominee is, last night was an historic night. And it really was a remarkable achievement for Barack Obama to win in Iowa. My sense is that race is unfortunately always a factor in politics, although clearly people 30 and under have a different view about race. And I think that's probably one of the great unknowns in this campaign, particularly if Barack Obama continues to do well, is what factor will race play when people actually go in the booth, close the curtain, and cast a vote.
He obviously spoke to that when he I think the sort of the sense of history that a lot of people were, at least that he, I think, may have felt when he talked about this last night. Here's a short clip from his speech.
They said this country was too divided, too disillusioned to ever come together around a common purpose. But on this January night, at this defining moment in history, you have done what the cynics said we couldn't do.
And here's a clip from Hillary Clinton. And I want to ask you, gentlemen, if you think that in essence she was answering that sort of appeal to, I don't know what you want to call it, to sort of to history and to sort of emotion. Here's Hillary Clinton.
Today we're sending a clear message that we are going to have change, and that change will be a Democratic president in the White House in 2009.
Actually, that wasn't what I was thinking of. I was thinking where she said we will win in November by nominating a candidate who will be able to go the distance and who will be the best president on day one. And, Doug, I wonder how you heard that. Is she saying in a way that, you know, he can't do it?
Well, I'm not sure that she was thinking about race when she said that, but I do think that what she has been highlighting, I think is a fair point for her to highlight, is the fact that she's battle-tested and the Republicans and the right wing are not happily going to give up the White House, and they're going to do what they think they need to do and do what it takes to try to tear down the Democratic nominee. And I think the main point she's making is she's battle-tested, she's more than prepared to engage in that fight, and I think that drawing a contrast with her background and being ready to take on that fight is what she was doing, and is a contrast to implicitly to Obama.
All right.
Well, you know, you can also make the case that Hillary is a woman, so there are more women than there are African Americans in this country, so isn't she the historic candidate? I think what it all shows is that the genius of America is we vote for the people. And increasingly, race, religion, gender is a smaller and a receding factor in the minds of most people. We vote for people in both parties we think are the most qualified. That's the greatest thing about our country. We don't really break down on those lines the way some other places do.
Ari, you know, Obama won 35% of the vote among women, Clinton 30%. How and why do you think that happened? And
Doug, I'm going to hear from you. My point is people don't just vote on the basis of their own personal identity. They vote for what they think is best for the country. And that has always been a hallmark of what sets our country apart, what keeps our democracy so vibrant, and that sends the signal to everybody, doesn't matter who you are in this country, you have a chance.
I agree with that, and I would add one other point, which is I don't think that people vote ideologically either, and I think that's one of the challenges that Huckabee is going to have going forward, which is he largely has an ideologically oriented foundation for a candidacy, and I think people do vote, as Ari said, for the candidate. Not for the party or the ideology. And I also think
No, I disagree with that. My point was they vote for both. They vote for the individual and what their tone is, whether they connect with somebody, and ideology.
Well, if you look
ideology
at,
is always profoundly important in American politics.
Yeah, but if you look at the election
Barack
of
Obama becomes the nominee, particularly, you're going to see a real case against somebody who is very, very liberal, and a lot of that's going to get brought out.
Okay, Doug, final thought.
Can't dismiss the factor of ideas, policy, ideology in elections.
Well, I think that what Ari said is emblematic of where the Republican Party is right now, which is it's really on fumes from where it has been as a majority party, and they've been trying to play, and successfully, I might add, for a generation, the liberal card. But I think the country has moved on, and they're much more interested in dealing with the real problems of this country and not fighting the same fights and the same labels that have been used against them in the past.
Ari, I'm going to have to invite you back so you can get the last word on the next round. Thank you so much. Ari Fleischer, the former White House spokesman for the George W. Bush administration. Douglas Sosnick, former senior advisor to President Clinton. Mr. Sosnick was kind enough to join me here in the studio. Ari Fleischer from New York. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.